T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You should come out and join Ron and I. We're at Sun Chevy, Route 19 in the South Hills, First Responders Fundraiser. Great cause, incredible vehicles out here, including a 2023 Corvette Z06 that Ron and I got to sit in. Of course, neither one of us could get out of the thing because we didn't know how to open the door, Ron. But what a vehicle. It's sitting to my right. They've revved it up a couple times. Just a powerful, powerful machine. So come on out and join us. Have something to eat. Mingle a bit. Bob Pompiani back in studio. And now on the Nemacolin fan hotline, Nemacolin around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. We find our friend Jeff Hobson from CincinnatiBengals.com, the man who goes by the name Butch. Butch, thank you for joining us, and I'm curious as to what the theme of Bengals camp has been down there. What's been the major storyline?
Heat. Obviously the storyline is we're waiting for Burrow to get back from his app, from his appendectomy, and to get his offensive line back. I think that's been a kind of a key theme, and the defense always. The defense always looks ahead of the offense, and it's really kind of, even without Jesse Bates, who is yet to sign his franchise tender, this defense looks miles ahead of where it was last year, and it makes sense because they're all back, and, they're all back except for Bates, and, they're in their fourth year under Lou Anarumo, his scheme, and it's, they look the way they should look. They look really good.
Butch, is there any concern about Burrow being ready, and do you anticipate him even taking a snap in the preseason? I see Justin Herbert isn't going to play in any of the games. Do you think Burrow will play in any?
Yeah, Zach kind of intimated the other day that he would not. He's only played, he's like Herbert in that 2020 class, no preseason games. He rehabbed last year. He only had 3 snaps. I think he's done pretty well with a career three preseason snaps. The 3 preseason snaps he had were disastrous last year. He only threw 1 pass, and it was a screwed up screen. And they were lucky nobody got hurt on the thing. And they got him the hell out of there. And I think he did pretty well that year. In fact, he went out in the opener and was 20 of 27. And at that point had a career high passer rating when they beat the Vikes in overtime. So yeah, I'd be shocked to see him roll out there, but if they roll him out there for a series in the finale, I guess that wouldn't surprise me either. But no matter what, I think he'll be ready for the 11th.
Thinking about the Bengals when it comes to their overall expectation level, I find it interesting. I know people in Cincinnati are very bullish, and quite frankly, around the league, most people are too. But is there any way that they arrived a little too soon, that maybe there's room for, a step back this year? We've seen that with some teams, that they come out of nowhere and they get to a Super Bowl, and then the next year they're not as good. What are the expectations there?
I think, this is, I don't think you can say they're a flash in the pan. They return their Super Bowl starters. Of the Super Bowl starters they return, they got 2 guys who are 28 years old. Everybody else is younger than that. So I think their defense is legit. Their skill players are legit. They went out and they helped their offensive line. I don't think anybody's got any questions about Burrow. The only question is, the division's going to be tougher. Baltimore is not going to get as banged up as they were. You know, they're going to go right to the end. Pittsburgh's going to be better than people think. Cleveland's got a great defense. You know, it's just another whole hum, just another year in the AFC North. I think all four teams are legit. Did the Bengals arrive sooner than expected? I don't see how a team wins three games in the playoffs, you know, two of them on the road, nearly wins a Super Bowl, and they got everybody back. I don't know how you say that they're not legit.
I wonder if you agree with this, Butch, and we have Jeff Hobson on, a.k.a. Butch Hobson. After the old Boston Red Sox third baseman, he's on the Nemecolon fan hotline. He covers the Bengals for Bengals.com. I feel like the Bengals could actually be a better team, but maybe not even win the division. And that's because of the schedule. I still think they could be a wild card, make a run at the Super Bowl. They could win the division. But you get my point. I mean, the schedule after the bye week, at Steelers, at Titans, Chiefs, Browns, at Brady, then at Belichick, then Josh Allen, then Lamar Jackson. It's a brutal schedule.
Yeah, I think most everybody in the AFC has a brutal schedule. A lot of clubs have those teams on the schedule. There's no question. I mean, it happens all the time. You know, a team is better than it is the year before, and maybe it might have a worse record. They get a bounce. They get some injuries. They don't get a bounce. You know, perfect example, last year's opener. The Bengals get a controversial fumble by the Vikings. They turn it into an overtime win. Well, Mike Zimmer's sitting here visiting practice a couple days ago. Who knows if that bounce goes the other way? The Vikings win the opener and the Bengals don't. Mike Zimmer's probably not here at practice. He's probably in Minnesota. So, you know, I mean, I just think that's the way it is, Doc. I think that's just the way the league is, you know. They could be better and go 9-8, you know, but they don't get a bounce or something. But I think that's why you got to be better than the bounces, if you know what I mean, you know. And they've got to get, and it seems like in this league with the way the rules are, if you get a quarterback that can conjure up something in the last 58 seconds, you know, you got a shot. And they've got that guy in Burrow. So, you know, I mean, these are the same issues every year, you know. By the way, Butch Hobson, 30 homers from the ninth spot in 77. And you get an extra bonus if you can tell me what Butch Hobson's real name is.
Ron?
I don't know.
Bobby? What Robert?
That's
what is it, Butch?
Well, C-L-E-L-L. He also backup quarterback at Alabama, too, when he was in college. His father was a great – Clell Hobson – Senior, great quarterback for Alabama in the early 50s.
You know way too much about him, Butchie, but I guess he's your namesake. All right, I'm dying to ask you this. Pittsburgh was outraged over the end of Heinz Field and Acrisure Stadium, beginning of Acrisure Stadium. What has been the reaction in Cincy to Paycor Stadium?
Paul Brown, a great name in Cincinnati and the NFL. But I think Paul Brown will be the first to tell you, and Mike Brown has told us, things change. And without him saying it, you know, they're building an indoor facility. That guy Burrow is coming up for a contract. Jamar Chase is coming up for a contract. T. Higgins is coming up for a contract. You guys can do you guys see what wide receivers and quarterbacks are getting. Paul Brown would probably have been, you know, like Mike said, Paul Brown would agree that times change. And so I think the folks in Cincinnati see the team they're building and what they're going to have to pay it. And I think they're okay with it. And they'll still honor. I mean, PB's name is still all over this place, and rightfully so.
Bob?
Well, I was going to ask about a follow-up, too, because I thought it was interesting. The AFC North, I think, is – one of the tougher divisions, maybe not the toughest. We'll find out if the AFC West can do something with that one. But you said you were expecting the Steelers to be better than what people think. I guess I want to know why you think that, and also do the people of Cincinnati still look at that as legitimate? In other words, that is still a potential. The Steelers can go out and win a division.
That's no question. I mean, if you've been a Bengals fan for the last quarter of a century, you know what Pittsburgh means in the division. So yeah, I mean, but in I'll tell you, Tomlin, Brian Flores, Terrell Austin on defense. You know they're gonna play really good defense. They're not gonna make mistakes. And look at what Tomlin's done with teams that weren't as good as this one. So I think that's why I think the Steelers are going to be better than, get the quarterback thing figured out. But all the while, they're not going to give up a lot of points. So I just think with the people they got coaching on defense and just their tradition and what Tomlin and the history of what Tomlin's done, I think they're going to be in the thing all the way, or at least most of the way.
Butch, I was just reading the piece.
They usually are. I don't think that's going out on a limb.
Just reading a piece on SI, I don't know, maybe a month ago, where NFL agents were sharing their thoughts on Burrow's second contract here with the Bengals. I think he's eligible next offseason. Are we looking perhaps at a $300 million man, at a $60 million man per year, at a name-your-price kind of guy here?
All I know is that Mike Brown, when he's had a franchise quarterback, he's paid him. He made Boomer Esiason the highest paid guy in history. He made Carson Palmer the highest paid guy in history. And what that means for Joe Burrow, I think he's going to come out of it pretty good. I don't know what the number's going to be, but whatever the number has to be, I'm sure it will be hit. It has been hit in the past.
You know, Butch, tell me about Ja'Marr Chase. I hear the work ethic is unbelievable there, the talent. I mean, I know they were somewhat criticized for not taking an offensive lineman, and they took, Burrow's teammate from LSU. The kid is just spectacular, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's a, ever since he caught that, the back end of the ball in the last 30 seconds at Heinz there, in Pittsburgh in the third game of the year there. He's always the last guy off the field. He's pretty close to being the last guy off the field after a practice. It depends might what goes on in the practice. But even if they go a little late, he's there with the jugs, And he catches about 120 balls after practice. He does the thing with the tennis balls inside. I mean, the guy's all football. He's also he's 22, but, the guy's a winner. He comes off as a guy who's been around 10 years, 10, 12 years. He's seen a lot. He's done a lot. And for a kid his age, he's as old as Paul Brown Stadium. He was born in March of 2000, when this place opened. And, he just acts a lot older than that on and off the field. I mean, the guy's just got a great he not only works hard, but he knows what he's doing. He knows leverage. I take you guys back to the snap before McPherson kicked the winner in Tennessee. And he's going against, a 10-year veteran there at corner. And, he runs a hell of a route to get to the sideline, stop the clock, 21-yard pass to set up the field goal. I mean, that was a veteran, that was a decade veteran play there. So that and the work ethic is, what you see is what you get. A guy that's, by the numbers, the best rookie wide receiver, the best year a rookie receiver ever had.
Lastly, Butch, it feels like we have to search a little bit to find a potential weakness or where the Bengals might be vulnerable. ESPN did a thing. Left guard might be an issue. Not sure what's going on there. If you had to identify a potential weakness for this team, what would it be?
Well, I think it's, getting the offensive line together because they got three new starters, and they're going to have basically four new opening day starters. So they've got to get that squared away. You wish they'd be a little bit deeper at receiver, maybe. I think they want to get better. It's hard to find. It's hard to look at them personnel wise and say, I think it's more areas than anything. They got to get better on offense. more consistently running the ball. They got to get better in the red zone, and they got to get better in short yardage, you know, and that's with the people that they've got. I think they think what they did with the offensive line, they'll be better in a run game and in short yardage. They've emphasized that. But I think more so those are the things, you know, an area, offensive line, get that together, give them time to gel. And they will be, and they will, because Lyle Collins is now, he's active, he's been cleared. He's going to be out there along with Teddy Karras and Alex Kappa, their new starting offensive lineman. So, but then in that, and just showing up the short yardage stuff, you know, I think that's, I think that's kind of the stuff that they're looking to do, and try and stay healthy. Isn't that what they're all trying to do?
Are they going to miss Ogunjobi, Butch? Boy, he finally got on the practice field a couple days ago here, and they just rave reviews already.
Oh, he's a great guy. Yeah, they are going to. Yeah, sure. I mean, 7 sacks from the inside. That's going to be tough to, you know, that's always tough to lose. And Larry's a great guy in the room, you know, but they feel like they signed up B.J. Hill. They'll get some sacks there. And, you know, they're hoping that they get some of these young guys who they think are pretty versatile moving inside and outside, can give them, you know, can at least give them those numbers. But yeah, you know, a great locker room guy. He's going to try and, he was the media good guy in with the Browns, and I was hoping he could have done it here, because he definitely could have been the good guy, media guy here, because he's terrific. So he's on his third team. You guys will love him, man. He's a great great guy with the media. So I think everybody wishes the best for Larry.
Thank you, Butch.
See you, Butchie.
Thanks, guys. See you in the opener.
What a man he is.
Right around the corner in the opener. Now we're talking opener. You can almost feel it, can't you?
Yeah, and I'm struck by the fact, even though they fluctuated a little bit on the offensive line here, this is the first Bengals-Steelers game I think I ever remember where the Steelers don't have a clear edge in the continuity factor that their coaches and their quarterback and you know, everything the Steelers have been known for, right? Now it's the Bengals, second year with their whole defense together, right? They have the same quarterback, same receivers. They've had the same coordinators really on each side, if you think that Zach Taylor's the guy calling the plays, and I do. That just strikes me, Ron, and I think they've earned their favorite status.
They kicked the Steelers' butts twice last year.
6.5-point favorite.
Not once, twice. It wasn't even competitive.
Having said that, they do have the hardest schedule in the AFC.
No, they do. They do.
In the whole AFC. Bob, where do you come down on the Bengals? If I had to pick right now, they're still my division winner. You?
No, I'm going with the Ravens, but I also think, Cincinnati has a lot of talent. They're going to be a good team, but they're going to find themselves losing some close games probably just because of what they have to face. So I see them actually getting better as a team maybe, but not the record. So I expect Baltimore to be the team, if they stay healthy, to win that division.
Who had more losses last year, Bob, the Steelers or the Bengals?
More losses last year? The Bengals.
Yeah.
What are you talking about losses? You're talking about
who had more losses last season, the Bengals or the Steelers?
I thought you meant player losses or whatever.
No.
Okay. The Bengals.
No. They each had the same amount. The Bengals won the division. No,
yeah, I thought they had the same amount.
Same number of wins, not losses.
Oh.
No, they had the same number of losses. They each lost 7 games.
Then they had the same.
And then they got hot
at the
right time.
God, I didn't think this question was this complicated.
Well, the first reason you ask it, we know they won the division.
Right, but I was struck last week when we realized that the Steelers and the Bengals had the same number of losses last year.
Because the Steelers had a tie instead of a win.
Right, the tie screwed it all up.
The tie
it was only meant to be a fun question.
To kneecap Campbell.
But it's also an interesting question because as much as some people think the Bengals were worlds better, the two teams wound up with the same amount of losses, Bob.
No, they got hot at the right time, and that's what it takes. You stay away from injury, you get the right things moving. And as your guest from Cincinnati said, there are a couple of games they could have lost that they won. And
right.
If that happened, that would have changed everything. And that's why I think the Cincinnati Bengals are a very good team, but I don't know that they're going to immediately become – another reservation in the Super Bowl just because they did it last year. I think that's hard. And you also see teams come out of nowhere, as you said earlier with Jacksonville. Don't be surprised if they're tremendously better, and they're always going to be those teams. So somebody's got to take a step back while someone takes a step forward, and I think Cincinnati will be the team record-wise that takes a step back.
Well, from where? 10-7 to where? They were only 10-7.
Yeah, I think it could be 9-8, even though they'll be competitive and good. They'll put up stats, but I think they can lose games. You know, the NFL is one of those things that it's hard to predict and hard to understand why teams end up where they are. But I don't – Cincinnati's good. They're going to be good for a long time. But I just think I think what they did in the postseason is going to be hard for them to duplicate.
All right. Mike Tomlin has weighed in on the quarterback battle. Folsy may have a 7 shots report coming up. We'll talk about all of that. Plus, Roger Goodell had some very interesting things to say yesterday. That's ahead on Cook and Joe and Bob.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Can't wait to get to the news on the 7 shots today at Steeler Camp. We're going to do that coming right up here back at the studio. Slice of Broadway has delivered the pizza again. They do an amazing job. Pittsburgh Public Schools Back to School event presented by Frank Walker Law. Help a student get a head start on the new school year by donating a new stuff backpack at any Pittsburgh Original Mattress Factory. You can also buy backpacks online. Donated stuff backpacks will be distributed at the Pittsburgh for PPS Back to School event Monday, August 22nd. Find complete details at 937thefan.com/backpack. Brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman, Original Mattress Factory, and Pittsburgh Cultural Treasure Initiative. We're out at Sun Chevy, Route 19 in the South Hills. First Responders Fundraiser. We're eating pretty well ourselves, aren't we, Ron?
Yeah, it's just a tremendous scene here at Sun Chevy. The new Corvette, the Z06 here, and all kind of people, firemen, ambulance people, first responders showing up. Great food. It's all brought to you by All Occasions Party Rental. That's Art and Jason Brown, Sherwin Williams, and America's Auto Auction.
Folsy, when we have Bob Pompiani, of course, back in studio, brought to you by PNC Bank. What happened in 7 shots? Please tell us.
All right, we go to our friend Jeff Hathorner, tweets them all out again like he did yesterday. So, the first one, Mitch Trubisky rolls out. Incomplete, good coverage by Akello Witherspoon. Okay, so 0-1. Next one, Trubisky, incomplete, pass breakup by Joseph.
Joseph who?
Carl Joseph.
Carl Joseph.
0-2 already,
0-2.
Oh, it gets better.
Yeah,
next
that's
one.
Because they made good plays, Ron.
Mitch Trubisky on the third rep, incomplete, nearly intercepted by one Bob Spillane.
That's when you know you're getting near bottom.
Robert Spillane.
Fourth rep, Mitch Trubisky. Too far for an Austin fade. So
too far.
Mitch Trubisky goes 0-4.
It's not his fault.
0-4.
Not his fault. Go ahead.
Mark Cabali said in his words that they were awful reps from Mitch Trubisky, those four.
Mm.
We go next
okay.
to Mason Rudolph. A fade, uh-oh. A one-handed catch by Boykin for a touchdown.
Wow.
This guy's been doing something, hasn't he? I've heard his name mentioned a few times, Boykin, for making some catches.
How about this guy? Next rep, Mason Rudolph, a touchdown on a stop route to Cody White.
Holy horse milk. He's two for two with two touchdowns.
Yes, he is. And then Kenny Pickett came in for the seventh, an incomplete pass to Jace Sternberger, a little off target.
Never heard of Jace Sternberger.
When you have to score a touchdown, Bob, you go to Sternberger. All right, what do we make of this? Mike Tomlin, yesterday, I believe, with Bryant McFadden on his podcast, said of the quarterbacks, they've all remained viable. They've made it tough on us. He said basically Trubisky with his athleticism, Rudolph with his deep ball, and he called Pickett Steady Eddie. So we were talking about this yesterday, Bob. Where there's actual competition on this depth chart, the big capital letters O-R, Spillane or Bush, Dotson or Green. There was none of that with the quarterbacks. It's very clear. Trubisky, Rudolph, Pickett is the order. What do you make of Tomlin's comments, of the depth chart, and of these seven shots? Trubisky's not having a good camp. I think that's a fact, correct?
Based on seven shots, no. But I think he's not, like, just now, apparently, he hooked up with Connor Haywood on a big catch down the field and put it right there. So who knows? I mean, if you're judging it based on seven shots, the answer is absolutely not. But I think, they defer to experience, too, which is why I don't think they'll trade Mason Rudolph, especially if it's just a seventh, sixth-round pick. I think they want to have experience just in case because they know the injury situation is what it is. And I think they really would prefer just taking time with Kenny Pickett. There is a big learning curve from the ACC to the NFL. And I think they know Trubisky's been through this. There have been days where Trubisky's looked great. But, again, when you're out there every single day for all these weeks, you're going to have up, down, all around. I am anxious to see what happens, in the game situation. Because unlike in previous year here, guys, when Ben Roethlisberger never played, all these quarterbacks have to play because they have to figure out some sort of chemistry. So you get out there.
Would you endorse putting Pickett on mothballs for the whole year and keeping Rudolph? Is that what you think is best?
I think if Mitch Trubisky is the guy, and by all accounts he's going to be the guy, and he plays well, yes, that's the way I would do it. I don't think there's any harm in that for right now. I don't. I think he has he's been up and down, and yesterday he was way off target on a lot of throws that I saw. But again, it's just he's playing with a bunch of guys who aren't going to be around either. I call them the future bartenders of America. That makes it very difficult sometimes if he's in with the other. This is why I think in these games he has to play sooner in some games rather than later. The preseason. So we'll see what they do there. You get a better understanding of what he has if that's the case.
Bob, you'll be calling the game on Saturday night. What do you expect? Do you think Trubisky will play just a series or two, then Rudolph, then maybe Pickett most of the second half? How do you see it breaking down?
I think that's going to be the case. Trubisky for maybe two offensive possessions. Rudolph, maybe the same, and then it's going to be Pickett getting the most time. But again, he's going to get it late in the second half or late in the second quarter into the second half. I don't know if that's good or bad in terms of who he's playing with. So there are going to be a lot of different offensive linemen in there who haven't played together, third stringers. Makes it hard on a quarterback. So I don't think you get a very good appraisal of what he's done. That's why I think it's important in the next week in Jacksonville that he plays earlier.
Bob, I couldn't disagree with you more on a couple of your points. You talked about there would be no harm in putting Kenny Pickett on mothballs for the entire year. To me, you get no reps in practice. How do you develop? And then you talked about the learning curve and how it's a steep one from college football to here. I mean, it was for Burrow, too, but they named him the starter day one when he walked in. And I think the best way to navigate the learning curve is to at least – take second team reps. I the scenario of Mason Rudolph sticking around here for the entire year is just, to me, unthinkable. I think it would be a terrible move.
You know what, Joe? If you read some of these accounts, though, a lot of people have been up there, and a lot of people I respect, they think Mason Rudolph has a legitimate case to be the starter, which I don't see that happening just because of what they did with Trubisky. But that's, if you base it on overall play in this training camp, Mason Rudolph's been the better quarterback.
against the second team defense.
Again, however you want to look at it, I'm just telling you, if you keep track of this stuff, that's what you'll come up with.
How about this Warren kid at backup running back, Bob? He seems to have been taking people by storm here.
Yeah, and yesterday he had two runs over 20 yards, and in college, you know, he's one of those guys that I like those stories, Ron, because he's – no one gave him a shot. He had to go to a JUCO school, I think, before he actually got to Oklahoma State in his final year, and he led them and was looked at as a really big part of their offense. Breaks runs all the time. He had a lot of gains over 20 yards in college, and yesterday had two of them up there. Again, it's hard to try to figure out how many yards we're talking about because they're not going to, you know, go after people 100% here at times. So – but I think you're going to see him early in the game, and I think they really want to get a good look at what it is because that backup to Najee Harris is still wide open, I think.
Bob, you never responded to my specific charges. If you don't have Pickett at least second team, you're okay with him going an entire year without taking reps?
First of all,
practice?
When you said mothballs, I'm not going to have him get out there and take reps. So he may be – the battle could be the backup. I mean, in their eyes, it might be Rudolph versus Pickett. You know, in that case, it may change the scenario there, but I think they haven't determined that yet. I think the only thing they have determined that Mitch Trubisky will be their day one starter. So
no, I get that, but you sounded okay with Rudolph being the second stringer the whole year.
No, I never said that. I just said that he's not going to be the starter. Whatever happens after that, you're right. It's better for him to be viable in practice and get some reps, but at the same time. It depends. Don't you look at the Steelers as a team that, you know, they like experience just in case something happens there as quarterback. So that leaves them in a very interesting predicament with Rudolph because they'd like to keep him around, but where do they keep him? And if it's only a seventh-round pick or something of that nature, Ron, I don't know if it's worth doing that just in case there are injuries and just in case you need somebody.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. I mean, I think they look at themselves as a playoff team, even though a lot of other people don't. And they probably think that if something would happen to Trubisky early on, that Rudolph would give them a better chance right now to win a game or two. But, I mean, yet the other side of that is you have to do something to start to get Pickett developed. I have no problem if he doesn't play a snap, but I would like to see him get the second team reps in practice. You know, to get him ready for next year. I still going to have a hard time, Joe, believing Rudolph will be on the roster on opening day.
So do
I'm still having a hard time.
And I don't want to see it. And if we're three games into the season and the Steelers believe that Mason Rudolph gives them a better chance to win than Kenny Pickett, why the hell did they take Pickett in the first round of the draft? I'm not asking him to be Dan Marino right off the bat, but if you can't establish yourself – even early in your NFL career is giving your team a better chance to win than Mason Rudolph, I have to ask that question.
Yeah, I mean, again, Rudolph is only signed for one more year. I think they look at Pickett as their long-term guy, but maybe not in 2022.
I agree that that's the way they may look at it. I would strongly disagree, and I hope it doesn't turn out that way. I really do. Well, what are we doing here, Bob? They brought in a bunch of quarterbacks in the offseason telling us what they think of Rudolph.
You know, I agree. But I think the Pickett thing just came to them out of nowhere. I don't know that they realistically expected him, if that's the guy they wanted to take available at 20, to fall there. I think that's why they went out and signed Trubisky. They had no
tried to trade up to get him.
Okay, but my point is it's only because teams in the top 10 weren't taking quarterbacks, which was surprising to many people. There were teams that had quarterback needs, and everyone stayed away from all of the quarterbacks. I think to Ron's point, and it's a good one, they view themselves as a team that can win a division. And in doing so, they believe it's important to have a guy who has a resume, and Trubisky has that. So that is their decision. Is it right? Is it wrong? I think this is one of the things we're going to be following all season long.
412-928-9370. You want to weigh in on that? An awful day for Mitch Trubisky in the
seven shots.
Mason Rudolph threw two touchdowns in the seven shots. We'll talk about what Mike Tomlin had to say. In fact, we'll hear what Mike Tomlin had to say on that podcast coming up next. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Ron and I are out at Sun Chevy, Route 19 in the South Hills. First responder fundraiser, awesome vehicles, great food. Come out and join us if you would. Bob Pompiani back in the studio. We're arguing over Steelers quarterbacks. Let's hear what Mike Tomlin said. Folsy, is this on the Bryant McFadden podcast?
It's not on his podcast. He caught up with him at Latrobe. I believe this was yesterday for CBS Sports.
Let's take a listen.
Safe to say if you had to go out and play a meaningful game tomorrow, Trubisky would be the guy?
Yeah, because that's the premise in which we started. We've been really transparent with the guys, and we based our start on resume. And Mitch is one in this league. The statistics bear that out. He has more experience than the others, and so we just thought it was appropriate to start there.
Well, there you go. And it's been pretty obvious from the start. It was solidified.
Day one.
Solidified with the first depth chart where there was no or between him, Pickett, and Rudolph. So let's all at least acknowledge that this was never really a competition and still might not be. Can we do that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's like he said, transparent from day one. Trubisky was the guy and has not changed.
Well, that's
not
the part
alternated from that at all. So.
That's the part I would argue with, Ron. They haven't been that transparent about it. They keep telling us there's a competition.
Yeah, but Joe, their actions tell you otherwise. Because
well, why are they telling us there's a competition then?
To keep the other guys interested.
Why did they
I
draft Kenny Pickett? I thought it was to put him in a competition.
Joe, you're going to need a quarterback beyond the first game in
Cincinnati. They told us this year there would be a competition, and they weren't telling the truth.
Maybe they didn't complete the sentence. It was a competition to be the backup.
Transparent is absolutely not the word I would use. Maybe we
but
could.
But their actions have been nothing but transparent.
But their words have been,
but
have been nothing
but. Who pays attention to their words? Follow your eyes what you see.
Did you think after spring that it was Trubisky's job?
Yes,
that was
I
it?
Did. Yes,
then there
I
was
did.
Never a competition.
I wouldn't
then
have taken,
they misled us from the day they drafted Pickett.
I would
transparent
have,
is the opposite of what they've
I
been.
Wouldn't have taken Pickett. I would have taken a defensive player. I said that all along. I was
they
gonna
told
go
us,
with Trubisky.
They told us when they took Pickett there would be a competition. There hasn't been a competition. To me, that's the opposite of transparent. Can we, if you define transparent is, has it been obvious by their moves what they're doing?
Yes.
Yes.
That's how I define it.
When Tomlin says that, I don't think he's saying that. He's saying that that's what we've told you all along, and they haven't told us that. When Joe Burrow showed up at camp, they handed him the reins, and off he went. They told us there would be a competition. There's been no such thing.
See, you're offended by no competition here. I want the best quarterback out
Why'd
there.
Why'd they draft Kenny Pickett? I'm offended by it. Why would you draft a guy in the first round? Tell us there's a competition
that's a great
and then
question.
Have none.
That's a great question why they drafted him. Again, I was on record before the draft saying I didn't want a quarterback, not just Pickett, Malik Willis, anybody. I was okay with starting this season with Trubisky and Mason Rudolph and then see what happens after this year. They chose to go another way. Maybe they think Pickett, obviously they think Pickett is going to be their long-range guy.
I mean, don't maintain the charade of a competition if there is none. Just hand the job to Trubisky, Bob.
But they have. They have. That's what they've done.
But that's not what they've said they were doing. They didn't do what they said they were going to do.
I don't pay attention to what they say.
Well, but their
the
depth
time.
Chart told you all along what they were doing. Their reps tell you all along what they're doing. That's what you base it on, and it's clear to anyone who goes up there that Mitch Trubisky is getting all the number ones. Mitch Trubisky is
so
actually –
So when they drafted Pickett, Bob, the day they drafted him, if I told you then he's not going to get any chance to compete and neither is anybody else, it's just going to be Trubisky, what would you have said?
Well, again, if it's me, I come out and say Mitch Trubisky going into this is the starter. But we do have a – I do – like I told you earlier, Joe, I would put Kenny Pickett in a situation in these preseason games because I put a lot more emphasis in them than I do seven shots every single day. I want to see what he can do. Maybe starting a game. I would mix it all up so I get a better evaluation. That's how I would have played it, but I'm only going – like what Ron said, you can look at and watch what happens in practice to come away with the conclusion that they're going to make.
Sure. I mean, I said that after.
And like I said, there's no guarantees. How many quarterbacks have struggled? And how many – look at Trey Lance, third overall. He had to wait. Now it's his turn. We'll see what he does. I don't think Zach Wilson's going to be very good with the Jets. I don't. I think that was a reach because there's so much emphasis on getting quarterbacks here. They decided to do it. I think all of these are incomplete evaluations. I think it takes time, and I think they are aware of that, and I think what they've seen so far in this camp indicates to them that Pickett may need more time, and there's nothing wrong with that for now.
How could we know if he's never out there with guys, with players, real players? How could they possibly know?
I mean, they're the ones making the decision of putting him out there when it's time, and if they don't believe, I don't know why. And that's a question I don't think they'll really give you an answer to either.
I'm thinking clearly they don't think he's ready.
Do you trust their evaluation? They're the same people that drafted Kendrick Green last year and put him at center.
Well, then you're going to ask yourself, is Kenny Pickett a slam dunk as you're making him out to be?
Well, I'm making him out to be a slam dunk.
Well,
you said
you would have given him the start right off the bat no matter what. Joe Burrow was number one overall.
I would have put him in a competition. I said I would have put him in a competition.
No, but you
like said, they
said
they were going to do.
You also said you would have just, he's my quarterback, I'm starting him. Didn't you say that?
No, I didn't. I said the Bengals did that with Burrow.
Well, he was number one overall pick. There could be a difference there.
Well, he was 21 overall. I think there is a difference there. But I would have given him at least a shot.
Well, maybe they will. Again, their plans are not yet out there. They could put Pickett, and I'm hoping they do. I want to see Kenny Pickett in Jacksonville play early in the game with better players. I do want to see that. I think that's a legitimate way to go about this. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to do, but I still think they've made their decision about this year already. And he said it based on resume. He has a lot of experience. He's taken teams to playoffs. He was in a Pro Bowl. All of this is check marks for Mitch Trubisky, and they based it on that.
I just wonder if this would be such a hot topic if they'd have drafted Malik Willis or Matt Corral.
No, it wouldn't have been.
Anybody else who wasn't from Pitt that we saw last year. And if, say that they'd have drafted Willis and just said, we think he's the most ready quarterback in the league. And it was coming into the draft. Just putting Willis in Pickett's shoes. Would we care as much about what they're doing with the quarterbacks? I don't think so.
I agree.
Did I phrase that correctly?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But the whole point to me was Willis was the project guy.
Right.
Pickett was the guy who was ready to go.
But I'm just saying, if they'd have said Willis was the most ready to go, this be such a hot topic?
I think it would be a pretty hot, well,
not
if,
as much.
If Willis wasn't a project pick, if he was the 24-year-old ready to go, I think it would be.
Okay.
Because it's Mitch Trubisky and it's Mason Rudolph.
I don't know.
I think
about
it would be a talking point that Mason
well,
Rudolph.
Oh, it's always going to be a talking point.
I think it would be pretty hot.
But I think Pickett brings out a little extra emotion because we know him and he's from Pitt.
Maybe. I think if you take a quarterback 21 overall who's 24 and his name is Malik Willis and you don't have Ben in front of him, that's the whole thing here too, Bob, is that it's not like there's a star at the position right here. It's Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph.
I get that, Joe. And what I'm
if
saying
there was
to
ever
you,
a place
not,
that a rookie would come
difficult.
In and compete.
It's very difficult for me to see how most quarterbacks, when they get to the NFL, does take time. You see very seldom do you see guys come right in and dominate. And Joe Burrow did that after he went through that ACL surgery. And there were some concerns about that, but good for him. But not many go through that process. Many struggle for a little bit. And, again, I think they believe they are a team that they have shots of winning a division. They think they can get into the playoffs, and they think their best chances with someone who's been established. To me, that's the only conclusion that I make at this point. That has nothing to
do with it. That's clearly what's happening, but it's what we think of what they think, and I'm not sure I trust them at this point based on the way things have gone lately with a lot of their personnel decisions.
Well, I mean, you can absolutely be right about that, too. I mean, this is the same team that defensively has given up 40 points in their last three playoff games. There's a lot of stuff
Mac
there.
How about Mac Jones? Is Mac Jones not a good comparable? Walks in as a rookie, not the number one pick. Not a superstar, walks in, plays well, gets his team to the playoffs. You have to be Peyton Manning. He played right away, too, and took his lumps to play right away and be good in the NFL. I think Mac Jones is a perfect example to go by.
Well, what was their alternative last year?
What are the Steelers' alternatives? Their alternative was Cam Newton.
They signed a guy that was the number two
He's
overall
Mitch Trubisky,
pick.
Trubisky, Ron.
But
He's
he was second overall.
Overall pick.
Cam Newton was the number one overall pick.
Okay.
Their alternative was Cam Newton. You don't think Mac Jones is a legit comparison point here? It's not like a rookie can't walk into the NFL and be effective, even if he's not a superstar in his first year.
But again, Trey Lance is third overall. He had to wait. They didn't think he was ready enough.
Trey Lance was a clear project pick. Mac Jones is more along the lines.
But he was third overall, and there's still teams trying to get him. I'm just saying, it's all a subjective business, and based on what you have, you go through. You know, they're the ones out there every single day watching every single thing that goes on. They tape it. They look back at film. They must come to the conclusion at this point that Pickett is not ready to do it. That's the only conclusion you can make based on how they're utilizing these guys in practice.
When did they come to that conclusion? Because he didn't even get a shot. He didn't even get a shot in the spring, Bob.
Well, again, they had
all the OTAs. So when did they come to the conclusion that he wasn't ready?
Joe, I'm just saying to you, I don't know the answer to that. But how else can you come to the – what is your conclusion then?
My conclusion is there should have been a competition and still should be.
Let me ask you this way, Joe. What if they just went to camp, OTAs in camp, and Pickett had been number one right from the start?
Yeah.
Trubisky would be number two. And would you say, oh, they're not giving Trubisky a fair shot? It's not a competition.
No, it should be a competition.
That's what I'm saying.
It should be a competition, and there's been none.
If Trubisky was the guy that was number two and not getting chances,
right.
Would you be saying, oh, they lied to us. There's no competition.
If they said there was going to be a competition, yes.
Okay.
You don't think they lied?
No, I don't. I think
they said when they drafted Pickett, he's going to be in it, and he's not.
So what are they supposed to say? What are they supposed to say?
Mitch Trubisky was brought in here to be a starter.
Okay.
And that's the story.
That's what
the other guys can battle behind him.
That's what their actions say. That's more important to me than what their words are, is what their
actions
are. Okay,
so never pay attention to their words from now on.
I don't pay a lot of attention to it sometimes.
As long as that's our take.
They want to keep everybody involved.
Let's not pay attention to their words.
They want to keep everybody in. Yeah, but you don't have to hold it like it's a Bible that if they don't live up to it 100%.
When they draft a guy 21st overall and say he's going to compete for the job.
If he doesn't play a snap this year, I won't be disappointed.
That's a different topic. When Kevin Colbert comes out and says last year was his first year of pro football, he's 24. We think he can compete right away, and they don't even give him a shot in the spring? Are you kidding me? But let's just trust the Steelers to do whatever they want.
We can look at it different ways. We can agree to disagree.
The same team that brought in Kendrick Green and put him at guard last year. I'm not sure I trust their decision-making anyway, Bob.
Well, that would also include drafting then. If you don't trust what they do, then maybe selecting Pickett, looking back, will be the wrong thing. Maybe they could have waited and got another quarterback the next round and brought in defense. I mean, these are the decisions they have to make. And then we sit there and evaluate them based on how things work out. All of this is subjective until you see otherwise, until you see them on the field doing their thing. So I agree with you. They totally missed it when it comes to Kendrick Green. Totally missed it. They thought he could be over there and be successful. He wasn't. It was a tough fit for him. As it turns out, he wasn't very comfortable there. And they never did anything about it. They just kept throwing him out there. In the offseason, they did.
And now, though, he may turn out to be their starting left guard.
We're right, mostly because Dotson's been a disappointment.
He's ahead of Dotson.
From last year.
No,
though.
It doesn't.
They also handed their defense to Joe Schobert.
It doesn't mean, though, that he was a bust if he ends up starting at guard. They felt he was their best option at center. They obviously were wrong last year.
About a lot of things, I would say. So I'm not sure I trust him on this decision, but we'll see. And I'm the head of the Trubisky train here. We're way over time.
I don't know. It sounds like you just jumped off mid, 45 miles an hour, and Starkey's jumping off that train.
No, I just don't think. There we go.
It's the Trubisky train.
They should have been handed the job on the first day of spring. 412-928-9370. You want to weigh in on this hot conversation? We'll talk more later. About the Pirates and the cell phone incident from last night, but let's stick with Steelers for now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.